Open in your Bibles with me this morning, please, to the book of the book of Jude. This is the 10th message in the book of Jude, and I think after 10 messages, I should remember the text. I hope you've enjoyed this study in Jude. 10 messages from a book of 25 verses. And I don't believe we've really begun to cover everything in the book. But this study has been a great blessing to my heart, and I hope it has been to yours as well. For our scripture reading, I'm going to read the last two verses of this book, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you that it is inspired. We thank you that it is pure. We thank you that it is preserved. Father, this day, bless it to the edification of thy people. Lord, just as certainly as the disciples brought to Christ a little boy's lunch, and it could not feed the multitude until Christ blessed it and broke it, so this morning we come before you with this word, which is but a little boy's lunch, until Christ bless and break the word to our hearts. Open thy truth, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. These last two verses of this great book are what we would call the benediction. They are the final blessing, the final summation of everything that has been said in the book. We've learned a lot of things. I hope that they stay in your heart and mind. But here we find in verse 24 five words which begin the verse. Now unto him that is able. That's six words, sorry. Now unto him. Do you understand that it is all about him? History, science, governments, it's about him. The past, the present, the future, it's about him. The rise and the fall of nations, it's about him. War, peace, pestilence, it's about him. Prosperity and destitution, it's about him. It is all about Jesus Christ. In the Garden of Eden, he was promised the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Mm-hmm. The most important event of all history is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ has drawn a line across humanity. And every man living, every man who has lived, and every man who will ever live stands on one side of the cross or the other. That's right. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It is all about Jesus Christ. And in our call to worship, I read that the preaching of the cross is in them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are called, it is the power of God unto salvation. Where are the wise? Where are the philosophers of this world? Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But it's all about Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you are the wisest, mightiest, wealthiest man on earth. And if you do not have Jesus Christ, you are the most foolish, wicked, and impoverished man on earth. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so as Jude comes to the end of this book and he begins to give his final blessing and his final summation, he says, "Now unto him." He does not address the wicked men that are snuck in and unawares. He does not address Cain, Korah, or Balaam. He does not address the men of Sodom. He does not address the angels that left their first estate. These are all things that he's talked about here in the book, but they're not what matters.
That's right.
They don't count. It's all about him.
That's right.
It's all about Jesus Christ. And the reason that all those examples, the children of Israel that perished in the wilderness, the reason they're given is because they rejected him. But you remember that this book was written to those that were chosen and who were kept there in the beginning of the verse. What were they kept? They were kept in him. It is all about Jesus Christ. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Isaiah 45:23. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. It's all about him. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, and those names are those whose names are, let me start that verse over again and get it right. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb. Here in Revelation 13, we're told that all that dwell on earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book. It's not talking about the elect there in Revelation 13. It's not talking about the believers. It's not talking about those who in the first part of this book were called, those that received mercy, those that were kept. It's talking about the LGBTQ.
Amen.
It's talking about the abortionist. It's talking about the atheist. It's talking about those that hate God. They will someday worship too. But there will be no redemption. You see, it's all about him. And so well did Peter say, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." And that's exactly what the world says about this book. Cunningly devised fables. Nonsense. But what other book has endured as the Word of God? What book, over 100 years old, is still printed in the thousands, month after month after month? Over 100 years old is still printed in the thousands. And yet, portions of this book go back 4,000 years and record a history that goes back 6,000 years. Brother Vance mentioned that the hymn we sang this morning is over 1,000 years old. What other 1,000-year-old song is still sung today? Why is that? How many times have men tried to stamp out the Word of God? How many book burnings have there been for the Bible? And yet God says, my Word is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in twain. You see, it's all about Jesus Christ. He is the center of all history. It is His story. And so, this benediction begins by telling us it is all about Him. And it is all about Him because He is able. Is Buddha able? Is Confucius able? Is Muhammad able? Is Sun Wan Moon able? Is Jim Jones able? Is David Koresh able? Now unto Him who's able. The gods of the heathen are wood and stone, the work of man's hands. Hands have they, but they move not. Eyes have they. They're not able. O Baal, hear us! O Baal, hear us! But there was none that took regard. There was none that did hear. But now unto Him, hallelujah, who is able. There's none like Him. There's not another able. But now unto Him who is able, is there anything too hard for God? As I sometimes say, it'll make a Presbyterian shout. Hallelujah! Christ is able! And He alone is able! And there is none like unto Him. Now unto Him that was able. And remember John, when he was caught up into heaven in the revelation, and he wept greatly, for there was no man on heaven or in earth that was able to open the book and the seven seals thereof. And the angel comes over to him and says, weep not, weep not! For the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and He's able. Amen. Hallelujah. Now unto Him who is able. And the text is very specific. Though He's able in everything, there is nothing too hard for Him. He's able to keep you from falling. And my friend, this summation, that He's able to keep you from falling, has been the theme of the whole book.
That's right.
It's been a book of warning against falling. It's been a book of cautions. Verse 1, we're called and preserved. Verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 4, men are crept in unaware. Verse 5, the children of Israel came out of Egypt and afterward were destroyed. Verse 6, the angels who kept not their first estate. Verse 7, Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 11, woe unto them who have gone the way of Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Verse 16, murmurs and complaining. Verse 17 and 18, remember ye the words which were given to you by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that mockers would come in the last day. It's warning after warning after warning. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. Now unto Him that's able to preserve you. Because there's all these dangers around you. Dangers from false prophets. Dangers from within. Dangers from without. Even the angels could not stand before the dangers. They fell. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for their homosexuality. But hallelujah, there's one who's able. Unto Him. He's able to keep you from falling. The whole book has been a warning. And because this book is a cautionary tale, because this book is a review of history, because it is a warning to us, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. But if the angels couldn't keep themselves, and the children of Israel who saw the plagues on Egypt couldn't keep themselves, and Balaam and Kor and Cain couldn't keep themselves, how are we going to keep ourselves on our own? It's a warning, because it is incumbent upon the child of God to live in strict discipline and obedience to the Word of God. We must always be aware. We must always be on guard, because the arrows of the wicked one, the darts of the wicked one, are coming at us all the time. And so we're to take the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand, but in the final analysis, not one of us can. Let him that thinketh that he stand take heed lest he fall. And so we're given this stern warning to sharpen us, to put the fear of God, as they say, into our hearts, that we might realize that there's a spiritual warfare going on all around us, and it's attacking us day by day, and we must equip ourselves, we must prepare ourselves, we must defend ourselves, but in the final analysis, it's God that keeps us, and not we ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. Lord. Turn with me to Micah 7. I wasn't going to have you turn to any other passages, but this one arrested my heart when I was a young man in my mid-30s. And it's just given me such joy. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He passes by the transgression. That's Christ. In Christ is passed by. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. As a young man, I was trying so hard to subdue all my iniquities and failing every day. And I can't tell you the joy that came to my heart the day I discovered this verse and realized that He will subdue my iniquities. Because though I try because I love him, and I try because I want to serve him, and I try because I want to be pure before him, yet I will fail and fail and fail, but he will succeed where I have failed. Glory. He will subdue all my iniquities. Yes. And he will cast them in the depths of the sea. The little boy gets the nice, clean Easter suit. And he knows that mommy will be mad if he gets himself dirtied. And oh, how hard he tries to keep it clean. But what little boy ever managed to keep his clothes clean? And so he comes to his mother with his little, clean Easter suit dirty. And his mother scolds him and washes the suit. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I come to my heavenly Father, desiring to come in righteousness, and yet I have gotten my robe of righteousness soiled. And he cleanses me again and again and again. I die daily. Thank you, brother. And so he's able to keep us from falling. In Philippians 3, I'll read verses 17 through 21. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Doesn't that describe all these we're warned about in the first part of this chapter? Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Even my wicked fallen nature. He is able to subdue unto himself. And that's why Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And folks, if that's all Jude said, we could rejoice. But there's so much more. There's so much more in this benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. He's able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. There's two words here that we need to examine and understand. The word present and the word faultless. This word present literally means to make or to cause to stand, to establish or to fix in place, to set up, to uphold, or to sustain. And I love to look at how a word is used in other verses, because that is the best commentary. That to see how a word is used in other verses explains to us what the word is teaching us in the verse we're considering. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. It's the same word, present. He'll set these over there, and he'll set those for judgment. Now, he's able to present me faultless. He's able to set me on the right hand with the sheep, and not on the left with the goats. Doesn't that make the verse leap out and preach to your heart? Hallelujah. And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And that word stand is this same word present. Remember we said that the word means to fix in place or establish. It cannot stand. And folks, this one has just been an overwhelming joy to my heart this week. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the issue of her blood was staunched. And that word staunched is the same word, present. She came by faith and took a hold of the hem of the garment of Christ. And Christ declared, done! It is fixed. It is established. Established. It is settled. Christ is able to place us in the presence of his glory and declare, done, it is finished. No more. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The issue of her blood was staunched. And I guarantee you she died one day, but not of an issue of blood. She may have been eaten by a lion or bitten by a serpent. But this was done. It never returned again. We used to teach the children in Jamaica to sing a little chorus. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. It's done. That's how he presents me before the throne. Romans 3:31, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And that word establish is our word. It's fixed in place. The law of God stands. And what it means is it stands as God, before God, complete. The law of God kept. We're all breakers of the law. We have all violated God's law, but in Christ, we've kept it. In Christ, we stand complete, without adultery, without idolatry, without taking the Lord's name in vain. All those things are finished in Christ, and we stand in Him. It's established in Christ, not destroyed, but established. And I mentioned the verse before, wherefore let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. That word standeth in that verse is the same word present. Stand therefore, the same word again. Having your loins girt about with truth. And so first of all, we see that God, that Christ, he's able to establish and fix us in place. He's able to present us, to place us in a place from which we cannot be removed, for no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. And folks, if that wasn't enough, the word faultless. The word faultless is the word without blemish and without rebuke. It is the same as what is used in the Old Testament for the lamb for the sacrifice. Christ establishes and sets and upholds us before His the presence of His glory, and He does so faultless. He does so without rebuke. He stands us up in His image. He stands us up like Himself. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offer Himself without spot unto God? And Christ, when it's referred to as Him being without spot, it's this same word, faultless. In other words, Christ is able to present us in the same way He is, without spot. And then 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That blemish is the exact same Greek word as faultless. He's able to present us, to establish us without blemish. He makes us as righteous as He is righteous. Ephesians 1 verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. And without blame is our same word, faultless. That we should be faultless. And Colossians 1 verse 22, 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And both unblameable and unreprovable are this same word. Unblameable and unreprovable. Friends, He's able to present us faultless. Oh, what glory.
Thank you, Lord.
But it doesn't end there. For notice that He's able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. No evil. No iniquity. No filthiness. No sin can come before the glory of God. Remember in Isaiah, the seraphim's crying, holy, 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 and the whole house is moved is filled with smoke, and the posts of the doors are moved at the voice of them that cried.
That's right.
There's no iniquity there. There's no evil that can come into His presence. Only that which is pure and holy can come into the presence of a pure and holy God. But my friends, that's where He presents us. In the presence of His glory. in that place filled with smoke. John tells us in the Revelation, in Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth. And Isaiah talks about the way of the wayfaring man. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall be for the redeemed, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, in Isaiah 35. In Isaiah 60 and verse 21, thy people also shall all be righteous. Thy people also shall all be righteous. Isaiah 60 and verse 21. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Thy people shall all be righteous. He's able to present us faultless, in the presence of his glory, in the place where no iniquity can dwell, in the place of absolute righteousness, and the place that only the absolutely righteous can enter in. Hallelujah. It's all about him. It's all about him. And he is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Ah, how the bridegroom rejoices over the bride. And how the bride rejoices in her groom. And when Christ presents us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the church is the bride of Christ. And the groom rejoices over the church. And the church rejoices with exceeding joy over Christ. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met a believer who wasn't happy about Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Have you ever met a true child of God who didn't rejoice in the mercies of Christ? Mm-hmm. Well, he gives us a new heart. Saul hated him. But then Paul loved him. And that's what God does. In Isaiah 62, verse 5, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over his bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He rejoices over his people. Isaiah 65:19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. Zephaniah 3, verse 17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That's talking about God rejoicing in the church. Those verses all are not talking about the rejoicing of man, but they're talking about the rejoicing of God. He's able to present us faultless before for his glory, in the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. But then we find that the redeemed bride of Christ also rejoices in the Lord. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Ah, you see the joy of the bride and the groom, because he presents us faultless. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believe with rejoicing, with joy unspeakable. and full of glory. Mm. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Mm. Those were the words that were given to the wise virgins. Mm. He comes. Go out to meet him. Mm. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God. We recounted history in the beginning of our message today, how it's all about him. He is the only wise God. He is the God who gave us all the warnings of this book and knew all about it. You see, in verse 4, when certain men were crept in unawares, God knew all about it. You see, in verse 5, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and some of them fell in the way, God knew all about it. He knew whose were his and who would fall. And in verse 6, when some of the angels kept not their first estate, God knew all about it. And in verse 7, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, God knew all about it. And in verse 9, when Michael the archangel was contending with the devil, God knew all about it. He knew where the body of Moses was, even though the children of Israel did not. And in verse 14, when Enoch prophesied, saying, "Behold, he cometh with 10,000 of his saints," God knew all about it. And he told his prophet, this is what's going to take place. And in verse 17 and 18, there were going to be murmurers, and God knew all about it. He told us. And my friend, God knew all about it. And he's given it to us today. Here it is. You want a history book? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's true history. Not what the evolutionists want you to believe. Not what the all-wise, stupid, idiot, foolish scientist want you to believe. It's all about him. It's about Jesus Christ. And so, to the only wise God, Muhammad's not a wise God. Small g. Baal, who didn't exist, but is mocked as being out chasing rabbits. Isn't that funny? Maybe your God's out pursuing. Maybe he's asleep. There's only one wise God. To the wise God, who is specifically called the only wise God. To the only wise God. That's a message in itself, isn't it? That's a sermon right there. The only wise God. Believe who you choose. The verse, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve," is often misapplied. Oh, you choose your God. But it actually was a comparison. If you won't choose Jehovah, which of the gods that could not save are you going to pick? Was what Joshua was saying. Which, if you're not going to choose Jehovah, which of these gods can help you? It was a rhetorical question. Mm-hmm. To the only wise God and our Savior. It's all about him. He's our Savior. Be glory and majesty. Could you imagine any other God intruding into Isaiah when the seraphim are praying, "Holy, holy, holy"? Mm-hmm. No. To him alone be glory and majesty, dominion and power. Remember, we began by saying that all the governments of the world, war and peace, prosperity and destitution, it's all about God. To him be dominion. He rules it all. Oh yes, Satan is running around doing his work. But to him be majesty, glory, dominion and power. Right here and now. Even though the heathen rage, and forever. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Father, today we thank you for the might, glory, and power of thy word. Father, we thank you for the might, glory, and power of our Christ. Father, we thank you that it is all about him. And Lord, we thank you that you have brought us to know him by faith. Bless thy word and thy truth to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.